This is the Horse Radio Network.
This is episode one of Horsemanship Radio, brought to you by the Monty Roberts Equus Online University, and we're part of the Horse Radio Network. This is Debbie Laux, and you're listening to the Horsemanship Radio. I have the founder of the Horse Radio Network with us today, Glenn the Geek.
Hi, Debbie.
Hi, Glenn. How are you?
Good, and I'm so excited that you're here, and we get to welcome Horsemanship Radio to the lineup of shows here at the Horse Radio Network. Congratulations.
Well, thank you. Well, thank you for being a big part of creating this pilot program. We're really excited about the opportunity.
Well, you know, we've had you on our shows at the Horse Radio Network a number of times over the years, since probably almost when we first started, almost 5 years ago now.
I was 12.
And I was 10. You asked for that. But we've had you on, a number of times, and you've always been so good at explaining the mission and explaining everything about, you know, what Monty Roberts stands for and the university and everything, that I just knew that this would be a natural fit and it's something that we should try and accomplish together. And I'm so glad you're the one doing it.
Well, thank you. Thank you for actually thinking of us and knowing how far back we go, that you've watched us grow, we've watched you grow. And it's been one of those progresses a little bit like natural horsemanship. We've watched the demographic of those of us that just love horses, love the relationship with their horses, and are concerned about the direction that horses are taking. We've watched it grow with the Horse Radio Network, and we're just so proud of what you've done there. You and Jennifer both have worked very hard, and you've been supported by some great people as well, not only talent, but also sponsors that have recognized that same ambition to do what you're doing to change the way that we work with our horses these days. Across disciplines, I love that.
Well, you know, one of the things that we did when we started the Horse Radio Network and that we wanted to accomplish was, and your dad, Monty Roberts, is certainly one of the best at this, and that is, we said we want to do entertaining shows that we want it to be entertainment first and education second. Because we know that unless you're entertained, it gets boring and nobody sticks with it.
Yeah.
So, and your dad is very entertaining. I mean, he's wonderful to watch because he is entertaining. He understands that he has to reach the people in more than one way. And, you know, he, for him, it's a natural thing. And for me, it's kind of natural, too. I don't have to think about that much. But that's the one of the things that we wanted to accomplish with the Horse Radio Network. And, you know, and I'm sure that you're going to continue here with Horsemanship Radio as well.
Well, thank you. Yeah, that is the goal. The listeners have told us that they're not excited about plopping down and watching TV for hours and hours. And our Equus Online University is built with that in mind. And I think Horsemanship Radio is going to help as well, because people can plug it in to their MP3s, and they can take it to the barn on their smartphones, and you don't have to stop and watch. I love that about the Horse Radio Network, and I love that about what we're going to do with Horsemanship Radio. You know, you can be mucking out a stall, right, and hear what we've got to say, or you could be out there working with a horse and have just taken that tip with you and try it out.
We have a lot. I'll tell you a little bit of demographics. Horse Radio Network now has over 100,000 listeners in 40 countries. And we estimate that about 40% of the people that we have listen to us while they're cleaning stalls.
Oh.
Because when you think about it, that's the biggest downtime you have as a horse person. If you have, three, five, ten stalls to clean in a day, you've got a chunk of time that's really downtime. And a lot of people like cleaning stalls. They take it as their downtime, and they don't want any outside influence. But a lot of people, you know, listen to the radio, or they take, what they do is they bring their iPods or their iPhones or whatever device they have, and they listen to us. They listen to one of our shows. And then a bunch of people listen on their way to work. If they have a commute to work, we have people that complain that we're not doing enough shows because they have more drive time than we have shows. So for those people, welcome to Horsemanship Radio. We're adding to the collection.
That's right. That's right. We're going to get some more tips out there for them. Well, that's great. I mean, we call that equine therapy, that cleaning stall stuff. And don't tell us otherwise, because we don't want to think about it too much. But yeah, that's right. That's the time that we're trying to optimize with people. We know that one of the downsides of horses, as opposed to dogs and cats, which everybody's real familiar with the pet world, is that they do take a relationship. They do take more time, or they can. And you have a better relationship if you do spend more time out there. But how do you optimize that time? How do you make sure that your training methods, your tips are effective, but also that relationship is built when you're spending time in the equine brain, and some of the tips that we have. That's why we're excited to have different guests, lots and lots of guests we've got that are excited to be a part of this network as well. And some have been a part of other shows that you have on, and some have never been a part. And so we're really excited to bring that to the Horse Radio Network as well.
And I assume your dad will be stopping by from time to time to say hi.
He has to
be involved at some point. He's not going to let you do this without him stopping by, you know.
Yeah, that's right. No, that's right. He's my edutainment, we call him, because he always teaches us something, but he's also, you know, he's a great storyteller, and I think he's one of the greatest storytellers, frankly, and always has something to pull from, an example or a story, or, you know, he's lived three lives that way, and so that'll be a big part of our segments. He doesn't let grass grow under his feet, you know?
Right.
he's in France right now, and he will be in Brazil next month, and so there's so on and so on. He was on BBC One last night with, by the time people hear this, they will have maybe heard about it, but it's a program. BBC One is the largest network over there, one of the largest ones, and they had a program about the Queen and her passion for horses. So it was real specific, and it was a great show. And of course, Dad was doing join-up through it, and he was working with some young thoroughbreds, first saddle, bridle, and rider. And to me, whether you care about the Queen or you care about thoroughbreds, not, then you still learn things about the nature of the horse. And I think that's probably the most important thing that he brings to the world of horses, is understanding and being fair to their nature. They're not dogs and cats, you know. They're not carnivores, and they don't chase after their food, and they don't earn it. They don't care to. They think it comes freely from God. And so their expectation is trust. Their expectation is to be fair with them and to understand their flight mechanism, that they're really big scaredy cats in big bodies. And understanding that goes a long way in building the relationship and creating willing partners in them.
I think you should do a segment in each episode called Stalking Monty.
Stalking Monty. Yeah,
yes.
Where in the world is Monty?
Yes, yeah, exactly. And we'll put some music behind it. We could get that music for Where in the World Is. And
yeah.
We'll get that music, and you could do a little segment in each show where we're keeping track of where he is and what he's up to. I think that'd be fun.
Yeah, like a Where's Waldo. We'll put him in a red and white striped shirt.
Yes. And have a little hand-drawn map on the wall and, put little Monty stickers.
That's right. Little wings on him. Yeah, he does travel a lot. In fact, he belongs to this 1K status on airlines. And it's so funny because he said that he legally could not be a pilot because pilots can't fly as much as he does. So he'll never be a pilot. But he does like it, though. I mean, he got a call over the weekend and said, can you be in Paris by next week? He goes, well, I've got an open house on Tuesday. I'll be there Wednesday. Okay. And so he literally comes to the call, and Mom would say that's because she has to take care of the ranch, you know.
Well,
she's back holding on the fort.
While you're bringing that up, let's get to learn a little bit about you, too. You're going to be the host here of Horsemanship Radio, which, by the way, is going to be on twice a month to start. Is that correct?
That's right. That's right.
So you'll have two episodes a month, and it'll be on the Horse Radio Network. We have a website called horsemanshipradio.com, so it makes it easy to find. And you can find all of the shows on the Horse Radio Network at horseradionetwork.com, and it'll be over there as well. And we'll go into more details at the end of the show about all the different ways you can listen. So we'll try and help people out that way. But let's learn a little bit more about you. Obviously, you're one of about, what, 120 kids. tell us about you and your life growing up with horses and with Monty as your dad.
Mm-hmm. Thanks. Y'all only had one dad, so you know your perspective is always that's the way dads are. But I actually learned by the time I was 40-something that it was a little different growing up around our house.
A little.
And first of all, I guess their first foster child was before my memory. It was when I was just born, and Dad forgot to mention it to Mom, but he brought her home, and so we had 47 foster kids go through the house before Mom and Dad said Uncle, and they literally had almost all teenagers. You know, it wasn't these cute little adorable 4-year-olds or something. They fostered kids that were in trouble for the most part. Some wanted to be jockeys and some had interests in horses, but a lot of them were from either broken homes or parents who said, hey, could you use some free labor at the farm? And they sent them out to pasture. And the kids were, you know, it was the 60s and 70s. And I hate to bring up memories of drug era, but it was a tough time to be a kid growing up.
Oh, and were you in California?
And a lot of these
time?
Teenagers. We were in California. Yeah. They burned the bank in Isla Vista. And, you know, it was that dangerous time, really, for youth. And, I mean, good things came out of it, but you sure didn't know at the time what was going to come out of all that. And so, growing up around horses was healthy. I mean, it really was. It was good for these kids. It was good for us. And you didn't know any different. Everybody worked really hard. We learned, because a lot of the kids were going to be horsemen, the emphasis was on nutrition. You know, we knew what a starch was. We knew what the food pyramid was growing up and everything, too. We had several jockeys come out of the group of foster kids. So they were always working on their weight and staying small and staying athletic. And we showed steers, we showed horses. I didn't like goats much, but other than that, I think every animal.
I'm with you there.
when I was in the fourth grade, a mare died and left a foal. And Dad said, basically, you want to raise this foal. You don't want to raise it on a bottle because that is not good for horses. Generally speaking, it turns them into a foster child you don't want. And so I raised it on one goat first, little filly, and then Dad built a stand for her, and she went up in the little stand.
I was going to say, how'd that work?
Yeah, and then she got bigger, the stand. And then there were two goats, and all that before school every morning was tough. But, you know, that's what you do, you know, when you're going to make something work. But I learned a lot that summer. What are you when you're in fourth grade? Is that 8 or 10 or something? Yeah. Anyway, it's young, but it was good work. And I didn't have the concept of weekends until I went to college. I didn't realize that people like primed for the weekend. I didn't know what that meant. That meant more work.
Yeah, that meant you had to work all day. It was like,
yeah. Sorry, school was a break, right? But I'm not whining. It was a great way to grow up. It really was. It's a beautiful country in California. People get out to the mid-central coast is Santa Barbara County, and Solvang is right in the middle of
so
that.
And you're north of LA and south of San Francisco.
That's
between
right.
Between the two. Yep.
That's right. It's a beautiful country. Come visit us. The farm is open 7 days a week for visitors. So there's these big gates, but we always say that's the insurance people. They want the horses to be kept in, not the people out. So please, you know, push the button and come on in the gate. It's a beautiful legacy that's there, and a beautiful state-of-the-art thoroughbred training facility there too. It's beautiful.
Now, did you grow up competing? Were you competing?
Mm-hmm.
What
yeah,
were you competing
we did everything.
In?
Gymkhana, Western. If I wanted to win that High Point trophy, I threw an English saddle up there and did a little bit, anything I could do to get that prize. But it was up and down the California coast. It was not, we didn't show nationally. Dad did all that, and it didn't really encourage, you know, doing the pro route. He, if anybody knows his story, he wrote The Man Who Listens to Horses in 1996, and it became a New York Times bestseller, which was as much a surprise to him as anybody on earth. Including the queen who invited him to, you know, encouraged him to write the book. And I think it struck a chord with people about what you can do with maybe not the fairest deck being raised as a kid. He did grow up with a father who was violent, and that's why, you know, he rejected violence at an early age. But that book did open up a revolution in horse training to say that, you know, really a flight animal should not be treated unfairly, because that is their mechanism. It's flight. That's a child, that's a horse, that's a lot of us are flight animals. And to be fair to a flight animal is to give them trust and is to give them relaxation and reward, but certainly not punishment. And without discipline, you don't have any excellence or championships. But he did not encourage us to go as far with the professionalism as his father was a funny guy. He my grandfather, when Dad was only about 4 or 5, he started doing stunt riding in the movies. You know, this was a real era for movies, and he said, you know, that Grandpa would always take the money that he got paid in cash and he put it in a little cigar box, and he said, "Don't worry, son, I'll keep your money for you." And he did. He kept all the money. Dad never saw any of the money. And so, you know, he thought that that whole professional bent to it was unfair to a childhood. He never had a childhood, really, like you and I would call it. So it was good for the future of horses, and he would say it was the best thing that could happen to him in setting up his life for his life's goals. He wouldn't have it any other way, but it wasn't a great way to grow up. So for us, he was always out to give a kid, you know, a second break. That's why we had so many foster kids go through the home. And my mom is the most tolerant person on earth. So she is very kind.
And one of the nicest ladies I've ever met, I'll add.
Thank you. That's very nice. Dad says that all the foster kids always remember her birthday and not his. So obviously she was doing all the nurturing that way too. So it was
something that just happened with him? Do you think that was a product of the way he grew up, to really wanting to give kids a chance that he never had?
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely. It started with when he was going to school. He went to Cal Poly San Luis Obispo, which is a great ag school and a great championship rodeo team they had and everything. And the first thing he did was volunteer at a thing called Silver City, which was the Korean War was wrapping up and the veterans were coming back.
I was going to say, this would have been in the 50s, not to totally date him here, but it would have been in the 50s, mm-hmm. right?
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. And so a lot of them were being off, let out of the war and dropped in that part of the country. And Silver City was set up for those that were married, but coming back to get an education there at Cal Poly. And they call it Silver City because it was all these Airstream kind of little tiny camper things, and they just rows and rows and rows and rows of them. So you look over it, and it's just a shiny silver little area of the campus there. And it was war at night. I mean, these poor guys were coming back from the war, and the domestic problems were just horrendous. So they had volunteers from the school, and Dad, because he was taking some psych courses, said, "Okay, I'll volunteer for it." And it was just horrendous. And you know, there wasn't any decompression when you came back from the war then, you know, and they're trying to do a better job today, but Vietnam was very much the same way. Anyway, that would gave him his first, you know, education in psychology and the whole, what does violence do to your mind? What does it do for a domestic setting? And I think he was trying to give kids a fair shake when he took his first foster home. Was this girl was about 12, and her mother was a drug addict and had some problems and actually died shortly thereafter of a drug overdose. And so this little girl just was horse crazy and babysat me. And so that was his first one. He said she ruined him because she was just so perfect that, you know, he was always looking for the perfect foster child after that. He had to go through 46 more and didn't find one better than that. But anyway, she was an adorable girl and went on to stay in the horse business and become a very nice mom. And so it's a good story. There's lots of good stories. There's a few who didn't make it, a few who did die of their drugs and other problems. But for the most part, there's a lot of great stories that come out of all that.
Now, like most of us that have had big boarding stables and have had farms where we have, you know, 1,000 teenagers going through, and, you know, you get to know some really well because they're with you for 10 years. and they're at the barn every day after school. You know how that is. Do a lot of the foster children still stay in touch, or have they drifted away?
No, they've gone on to their own lives, which is wonderful, but they do stay in touch. Yeah. And some of them live not only out of country, but, you know, like one is in Dubai. There's one guy by the name of Satish Simar. I was going to say boy. He's not a boy anymore. Yeah. Satish Simar is the one of the head trainers for the Sheikh of Dubai.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and Dad introduced him when he went back. He got him a job at Keeneland in Kentucky. And then he's a good kid, and he went to Cal Poly too. He was one of those kids that came from a privileged family in India and spoke Farsi and everything, but definitely wanted to do everything himself. He didn't want to be pampered. He didn't want, you know, the horses were saddled for them. They were taken care of for them and everything, and he was of that. But he didn't want to be that way. He wanted to know it from the ground up. He's a hard worker, and that stood him in good stead. So he is one of those stories that of somebody who stayed in the horse industry and excelled in the horse industry. But there are quite a few like that, and we learned a lot from them too about taking them into other parts of the world. I guess Dad sort of mentored them. And all of us are learning how to relate what we're learning in this country about how to treat horses and how to excel in different disciplines, whether it be in the thoroughbred racing industry, whether it be in the Western show ring. It doesn't really matter. But you have to go over there and use that culture to submerge into too. And that's a real education as well, because I'm not just talking about third world countries. I'm talking about a mindset that – you remember, the thing that's interesting about horsemanship radio and horsemanship in general right now is what we want to do is expose the fact that think about where natural horsemanship was born out of, if you want to use a term like natural horsemanship. It was actually born out of the wild, wild west, which is kind of an interesting cosmic moment, isn't it?
A juxtaposition.
A juxtaposition, exactly, Glenn. And I think there's a reason that all that came about, that there were several guys in California at an era at the right time with the right ingredients that said, okay, enough of that. That, you know, this we've gone as far as that pendulum arm is going to swing. We really need to come back the other way. So remember that even though in Scandinavia they always felt that they treated horses very well, they come up from a position of understanding that violence is not right, but did they really explore how to break through that and have, performance that goes beyond just training a horse to do something, about having them become a willing partner in what you're doing? I'm going to use that word a lot in horsemanship radio because it paints a picture of a horse saying, "Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah, let's do that some more." Because a breed specific exercise is so fun for them. You know, it's a horse to run naturally, bred to run naturally, is a beautiful thing to watch. They enjoy it. And the same thing with a lot of disciplines. So I want people to understand that there's a lot to do still. There's a lot of progress we can make for sure. And we can do that and change a lot of the world as well, because they've kind of stayed in a real middle road as far as horse relationships and horse treatment goes in disciplines. And there are still places that are the wild, wild west in training too. There are some places that really are looking for these concepts. Brazil would be one for sure. There's breakthrough things happening in Brazil right now that we're really excited about. That the world is beating a door to Brazil right now between the Olympics and all the outstanding athletic things that are going to happen in Brazil in the next couple of years. They don't want to appear to the world to be a third world country, and they aren't. But one of the areas that they are a little wild, wild westy still is in horse training. And so they're excited to change. They actually are inviting change. And that's going to go so fast. It's going to go so fast there that we'll be excited to share that with everybody about how, even though their daddy did it, you know, a lot of times here we'll say, you can tell me how to change, but don't tell me my granddaddy did it wrong. You know, and they're saying, I think my granddaddy did it wrong, and I'm actually looking for a different way. Because you go through a lot of horses if you don't.
Well, and I'm excited too, because of the nature of what we do, we're able to talk to guests from all over the world. So this is really, truly going to be an international show, because horsemanship just is not limited to one country. And we currently have listeners in 40 countries, and I think thanks to your show, we can double that number.
That's exciting.
And I'm looking forward to that too. Debbie, I know you get out and ride every once in a while. I see in your Facebook page that you still take some pack trips and get out and enjoy nature.
Mm-hmm. I know. Yeah, it's in the blood, isn't it? I mean, not only in the DNA, but I think once you're raised around horses, you get back to it. You definitely do. And I have my circle of friends that we just love. I mean, either we're on a pack trip or we're going out to the desert or we love going somewhere and we love getting on horses. But I ride every week, and I ride as many different kinds of horses as I can. I love riding new breeds and learning about new Merari horses and Shaguas and horses that some people have never even heard of before. It's almost like a bucket list, you know? Oh, there's one I've never ridden before. It's a lot of fun. And one of my favorites, the big champagne-colored draft horse named Thor. You know, what little girl doesn't always dream of doing all these things? And then imagine you get to do it too. So yeah, that's us. We go on every summer, and we'll do this again in July. We go up to Sun Valley, Idaho, or parts unknown, 10,000 feet up, and no toities, and just live in a tent and get grungy and ride our horses all day. It's a lot of fun. Poor horses.
That does sound like a lot of fun. And talk about decompressing and getting away from the world.
Yeah, pretty much unplugged. That's right, Glenn. You would probably be shaking.
I would. My ADD would kick in about 10 minutes, and that would be it.
No solar panels, no. You can't get on that phone.
Yeah, my wife says I couldn't do it. She doesn't think she, and she doesn't want to be around if it ever happened. So
that's right. Yeah. In fact, Jennifer, she should go up with us. This is definitely
she would love that. She would love that. She would absolutely love that. She can get away from her phone, no problem. So
there we go. Yeah. See, we'll do that just to irritate you.
Yeah, she would absolutely love doing that. I guarantee you. I'm not sure about sleeping in the tent, but otherwise, I think she would love it. Well, this is going to be great. It's horsemanshipradio.com, and there's going to be a lot more of this to come with Debbie. We are so excited, as I said, to have the show on the Horse Radio Network. A couple things. If you want to listen to the show, one of the best ways to do it is through iTunes. Just go to iTunes and search for Horsemanship Radio. Hit subscribe. It's free. It's easy. It'll download automatically to your iPod or your MP3 player, or your iPhone or your other phones, whatever you use, and then you'll have it there. You can also use any of the podcasting apps that are out there, and you'll be able to find it on there as well. HorseRadioNetwork.com is where you can find all the shows in the Horse Radio Network, and Horsemanship Radio will be on there as well. So you can access it from your computer at home, from your laptop anywhere, or from your any kind of smartphone or iPod or anything like that as well. So there's multiple ways you can listen, and we hope that you do going forward. As we said, the show will start out, twice a month?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And we haven't set the for date of the next episode yet, so this is kind of an introductory episode, a pilot episode for you to get to know Debbie a little bit and what the show's going to be. But we will be announcing that shortly, and you can keep an eye on your Facebook page for that, right?
That's right, yep. We'll have the Facebook page under Monty Roberts, and he also has a Twitter, which is Monty_Roberts as well. And we'll be doing all the announcements in that, because that has a large following, and I think we'll find a lot of our friends there already, and that's where we make most of our announcements. So we'd like people to follow us there and like those and give us signs of encouragement. Lots of sharing if you can, because that's way we're more word of mouth as a cause than anything else. So we appreciate any sponsors that may be interested in this as well. But it's those followers that we're hoping to tell their friends about Horse Radio Network and Horsemanship Radio.
It'd be interesting too, as we go down the line. It's always fun to talk to listeners who have gone through the Monty's classes or the university, and it would be really interesting to have some of them on to talk about what they're doing currently and what they've learned along the way. I'm excited too, because this one's going to get more, this show will get a lot more in depth with training and with natural horsemanship than any of our shows have had the ability to do up to this point. So I'm very excited that we're going to get a little deeper.
Great, great. Well, enough about me. I can't wait to get some people on here that really know what they're talking about too, and get Dad bantering back and forth with them to give us a bit of a peek into where this whole progressive natural horsemanship movement is going. And it's exciting. I'm watching new memberships pop up in associations and disciplines right now as we speak. Actually got one new one today. So I'm excited just to just hang on, saddle up and hang on.
And it's MontyRoberts.com, right?
That's right.
MontyRoberts.com is where you can find links to all of what Monty Roberts does. And I will not be on every week. I was just here this week to say
darn
hello.
It.
So for
I
those
know,
of you that are sick of me already, don't worry. I'm just here to welcome Debbie to the network. And thank you so much, Debbie. We look forward to the first episode, which will be announced shortly.
Well, thank you, Glenn.